You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Today at 99diabetes.com. That's 99diabetes.com.
The captain of the AirAsia plane that crashed on December 28th reportedly was out of his seat just before the crash. The jet's co-pilot apparently lost control, Reuters is reporting. The Airbus A320 jet plunged into the Java Sea, killing all 162 people aboard. Indonesian officials, however, stress that it is too early in the investigation to draw a detailed picture of how events unfolded. Bobby Christina Brown, daughter of the late singer and entertainer Whitney Houston, is in dire condition after she was found face down and unresponsive in a bathtub Saturday and rushed to an Atlanta-area hospital. AP correspondent Jonathan Landrum reports hospital officials are not discussing Brown's medical status.
A spokeswoman declined to comment on her condition right now. They have not given an update. The only thing that they have told us is that she is still alive.
Brown is reportedly on a respirator with very little brain activity, according to People magazine. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Beth, wow, you look fabulous.
Thanks.
I mean, so refreshed.
Must be the free facial I earned during February at Rite Aid.
February?
Yeah, you can earn all these great rewards just by shopping at Rite Aid.
That sounds fab.
It's February at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from mini golf to beauty treatments to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through February 28th. Get shopping and start earning rewards today. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See RiteAid.com/February for details.
President Obama and the Dalai Lama will both be at the National Prayer Breakfast this Thursday in Washington, AP religion editor Steve Coleman reports.
Obama and the Dalai Lama could have a chance encounter at the National Prayer Breakfast. National Security Council spokeswoman Bernadette Meehan said the president will see many religious leaders at the event, but the White House had no specific meeting with the Dalai Lama to announce. The Tibetan Buddhist leader does not have a speaking role at the prayer breakfast and will be seated with the audience. Obama, a speaker, will be at the head table. Obama has met three times with the Dalai Lama despite objections from China. Steve Coleman, Washington.
AP correspondent Carlotta Bradley reports officials from dozens of countries are meeting in Montreal this week for an aviation safety summit.
There's agreement tracking planes needs to be better, but no agreement on how to do that. One proposal officials at the International Civil Aviation Organization meeting will discuss is having the UN agency build a database where governments can send intelligence or warnings about the risk of flying over war zones.
Police say a woman selling drugs made a big mistake by mistakenly calling an Albuquerque police detective. KOB-TV reports 30-year-old Reina Lucero was arrested after she called the detective to set up a drug deal. The report says he didn't think she realized who she had dialed. Lucero was arrested on drug trafficking charges during the sting. This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
The weather the weather today in scenic Hunterdon County. This afternoon, a snow shower is likely, mainly before 3 p.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 35. Breezy with a west wind about 11 to 21 miles per hour with gusts as high as 44 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Total daytime snow accumulation of less than an inch possible. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear with a low around 10 degrees. Wind chill values as low as 2, or minus 2, I'm sorry, and blustery with a northwest wind 13 to 22 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. Tuesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 23, wind chill values minus 3, west wind 6 to 9 miles an hour, and Tuesday night will be increasingly cloudy with a low around 13 and southwest winds 3 to 5 miles per hour. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we're on the air, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is a all-volunteer organization in Hunterdon County. We have no paid employees. We don't have a office or anything like that. We work out of our homes. And we run classes and have support groups, and we try to help people who have a mental health issue. There is a NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. Today, we are very privileged, and I know I'm going to screw up your name, but I'll get your first name right anyway and your last, but we have with us today Gemma Castaneda Martinez, who is the Director of Child and Adolescent Services at Safe in Hunterdon, and it's a privilege to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Would you briefly explain what Safe in Hunterdon is, so somebody who may not know what it is?
Safe in Hunterdon is located here in Hunterdon County and is dedicated to serving victims and survivors of sexual and domestic violence. And we are a agency that has an emergency hotline 24/7, 365 days a year, available to anybody who has or feels they might be experiencing domestic violence. We serve children from 3 and up, as well as adults and families. And we have, apart from counseling services, we have a shelter, transitional housing. We also have legal advocacy and prevention resources for the community to educate.
Traditional housing for
transitional?
For families who are, or what, women or men or whatever.
Yeah, for families who have been in a shelter, and it's kind of like the in-between before they find something out in the community.
Right.
Yes.
Now, when you deal with adolescents and children.
Yes.
And what, well, I suppose we should declare basically what is domestic violence?
Domestic violence is any form of abuse in an intimate relationship, whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, if they are living together, dating, married, separated, and they are either suffering from physical violence, sexual, emotional, manipulation, coercion, control, all of that falls under that category.
And verbal.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. What are some ways that domestic violence can affect children?
A lot of children who have experienced domestic violence, whether themselves being a victim or just observing it within the home or within their families, they come up with a lot of just difficulty expressing themselves. They isolate. They live under a lot of anxiety and fear. So they struggle academically, and that's a big sign for us that something's going on at home, because they're having a hard time really focusing on their schoolwork.
Right. I would imagine it would be very hard to focus on just about anything if you're in that type of a situation.
Yeah.
I know a couple of weeks ago, I had a young man, he's my age almost. Well, he's not that young anymore. sorry, Mike, but you're not. and he's from New Hampshire, and he, as a child, his parents put him and his two brothers into a, it's almost like a prostitution ring that they ran.
That's horrible.
And it was ironic because he was telling me that people from the church were there, the police, they all were taking part in this. And it's disgusting, you know. And all the trauma and everything that he's gone through.
Yeah.
Two of his brothers committed suicide because they couldn't handle it as they got into their 20s and such.
Mm-hmm.
And he now, he's a musician, and he goes around to various groups and organizations and what, and sings and plays the guitar and talks to people who have gone through this and tries to get them to get through their abuse and, you know, not so much put it behind them, but get on with their life,
yep.
you know. Because I don't think you ever put something like that behind
no.
you.
And
you know?
That's our work. It's to help them heal, to help them feel a sense of safety and security and strength in themselves.
Right. You know, it's like telling a veteran that's coming back from either, well, like myself in Vietnam or Afghanistan or Iraq, oh, get over it.
Yeah.
Get over it. You know, the horrors that you've seen and, you know, witnessed and stuff, you don't get over it.
Right.
I mean, you either have to learn how to deal with it or have help dealing with it, you know. And I think, you know, that's what, you know, it's wonderful that there's an organization like this.
Yeah.
The other thing that I guess a lot of people in this county, because of its wealth, feel there's no need for this because it's such a wealthy county. And, you know, I don't know, it's like the sixth in the country or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here because I sure don't have it. But you know, it's just like, it's amazing, you know, that they don't. You know, they don't feel like there should be anything for homelessness. They don't feel like there should be anything for this because this don't happen in our town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it does. And unfortunately, more so than you think, you know. And that's unfortunate, you know, and especially with kids. I mean, I'm sorry. I think that's brutal for it to be with
mm-hmm.
kids.
And we serve all economic levels. That's mm-hmm. really what if you want to be a client of Safe in Hunterdon, you had to have been exposed to domestic violence or sexual violence. That's really the only
prerequisite.
Yeah, the only
right.
prerequisite.
And, well, how did, you know, I don't know, it's hard unless you get them to talk, but how do children feel when they're, you know,
really,
going through this?
It can really vary. Most of our children come in feeling very guilty. They feel like they've had something to do and that's why this is happening. Some children come in be extra parentified, so they're taking care of the siblings or taking care of mom, and so they take on the protector role a lot.
Right, right.
So it really depends on the age and stage of development the child is at. But those are the top two we see coming in.
In your experience, say young kids, 5, 6, they react differently than I would assume a teenager would react.
Yes. The younger, we notice more physical aggression in expressing their emotions, while in the older the child is, they just isolate and shut down more so. So it's almost polar opposites.
Right, right. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people don't feel that children as young as 5, 6, whatever, can develop mental illness.
Mm.
But they can,
yeah.
You know. And I've talked to teachers. I've given presentation to teachers. And I'm saying a lot of times with the economic situation the way it is in the world today or in this country anyway, parents are working maybe two jobs or they're working, you know, the mother's working, the father's working. They're not getting home till 6, 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
The teacher probably, in a lot of cases, spends more time the child than the parents.
Correct.
You know, and they should be aware of, you know, to pick this out. Do you do presentations to teachers?
We do go out into the community. We call it community outreach and
okay.
just educate them on our services, what to look out for. I know in the new year we're looking to have more workshops available just to so the public knows what really to keep an eye out for and what's the norm, unfortunately, in families with
yeah.
domestic and sexual violence.
And like I said, the teachers a lot of times they spend more time with the kids than the parents
mm-hmm.
because of the work situation and the economic situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're more apt to see a change in someone,
right.
you know, in a child than the average next door neighbor or whatever,
okay.
you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say characteristics, but what are some of the characteristics that you find in abusive homes?
We find in the children, they're really the people you have to pay attention to, because they will tell you everything without even saying a word. And what we see is a lot of self-blame, a need to be perfect, to always walking on eggshells. That's something we all, even they eventually tell you, but you can see just in their personality. A lot of our kids enjoy a lot of fantasy making, creative story making, because it's their escape. And that's why at SAFE we have a specific program for children, which is creative arts therapies.
Uh-huh.
And we use art, dance, and movement and music, which is that it's a how they can express, how they share what's going on in a safe, non-re-traumatizing way. And so they can get it out, and they can kind of, like, you know how as adults we have an argument with someone and they're like, and we're like, oh, we should have said this, I should have said that. So it's basically what we're doing with the children.
You'll find that out in marriage, too.
But it is basically what the kids are doing, that, okay, when I feel unsafe in this situation, I'm going to make, if they're doing a sand tray, I'm going to make my dinosaur do this instead of this so that he feels safer. So when they're right. in that spot again,
right.
they remember, my dinosaur could do it, so I could do it.
Mm.
So it's just that kind of safe distancing, but it's still effective in a connection to them.
Yeah, it's just, you know, does it affect teenagers in a different way?
Our teenagers, unfortunately, follow the same cycle and end up in relationships just as violent as their parents do.
Are they the cause of the violence you find, or are they the recipients of it? In other words, a teenager goes, you say that they wind up in relationships that are similar to what their parents went through.
Correct.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, does the teenager who goes into this relationship, are they the ones expressing the violence?
So are they
the recipients of the violence?
It really varies on the teenager, what part they played as they grew up. Some of our children, like I said, they can be 5 years old and extremely aggressive and hostile with other people because that's what they've learned gets you things in the home. Compared to other teenagers are the submissive ones who see it's safer if I act this way to not mm-hmm. stir the waters.
Okay.
So it really depends on who they connected with more as they grew up.
It's interesting because, you know, it's like, you know, I know that, you know, television is television, but and 90% of it is, you know, based on fiction, but you see a lot of shows where somebody was, you know, in a bad relationship, a home relationship or whatever, and grew up to be taking it out on other people and, you know, yada, yada. I was just curious if this is happening here, you know.
And it is, but I'm careful to say, oh, usually if the abuser is a male, the son will do it, because it's not always the case. It doesn't really matter of what the sex of the abuser is. Mm. It depends, at the end of the day, who the child seems to correspond more with. And that's what we see in a lot of our children and adolescents, too, that they don't understand why their offending parent acts this way, but they still, like, every child needs to please them and wants to be loved by both of them.
Right.
So the taking sides starts happening. So it's a lot of chaos.
Do you find that, well, first of all, how long do you deal with these youth and adolescents?
Well, our programs last a year minimum.
Okay. So it's a minimum of a year, but yep. It could be longer.
If it's needed, absolutely.
There's actually then no time limit on it, per se?
Well, what do you mean?
No, like, say someone, a youth is in it for 13, 14 months and they still need more. It can go on for another 6, 8 months if it need be.
It's really client-centered. So if a certain client needs more of something, then we look into that, because we provide individual and group services too.
Uh-huh.
So we really go by where they are.
Okay.
And some flourish in groups compared to some flourish in individuals. So maybe we definitely try to do a step down. We don't just pull the rug out from under uh-huh. under uh-huh. them.
Okay.
So if anything, maybe they start after the year, we would see where they are. And if they're ready to go, maybe in a couple more months, we do biweekly or monthly. But either way, it's always a gradual and always measuring where they're
okay.
at.
Okay. Okay. You had mentioned I'll get it. Music, art,
dancing,
movement, and stuff. I know that a lot of mental health facilities use art and music to calm the individual and get them to interact and, you know. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of counselors who are versed in art and, you know, music to do this. I was just amazed that it works, you know, because it's just like, you know, okay, I like music, you know, only certain types of music. But my granddaughter's a musician and a singer and, you know, all that. And she is looking to progress to that degree, to go and become a therapist with using music.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
So I think it's great. And when I had someone on from Carrier Clinic, they were saying that they do art and it calms the patient down. And, you know, so this is, you know, I just, is it the same effect on a teenager?
It depends. We really try to match the child up with the modality that will best speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the therapists that do the creative arts at SAFE are certified by the state.
Right,
So it really, really depends on, some kids respond better to music compared to others to dance and movement, or we respond to the need. If we have a child who's super active and has lots of energy, they might need a lot of help just calming themselves down and grounding themselves. So dance and movement might be more appropriate to start with.
Okay.
Because in the year-long program, the children get to experience two different creative arts therapies.
Okay.
So they get a variety, but the parents get some supportive counseling, some education on just how to discipline and how to talk to these children who are being either divided between the two parents, but also at the end of the year, they get family therapy. They come together as just that little unit.
Right. I've often thought or often wondered why someone would continue in a relationship that was so destructive to not only the kids, but to them. And I'm not saying man or woman, it could be either one. Mm-hmm. As much as a lot of people don't realize that, you know, men can be abused too.
Okay.
And they can be physically abused as well as mentally abused, you know, or emotionally abused or whatever. And I don't understand why people stay in relationships like that. I mean, yeah, you want to maybe try to make it the best you can for the, you know, but after a while, if you're getting beat up all the time, you know, I mean, it comes a time where you have to say, whoa, stop, I'm getting out of this.
It really depends on a lot. A lot of our parents stay because there's the fear that the children will be hurt by the separation. There's a fear that they won't be able to provide for the children on their own without the other person, because usually we find there's a lot of economic manipulation in the relationship as well. So usually the parent who is being abused might not have such a strong economic footing as the other one does.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the threat of, oh, okay, if you leave, fine, but I'll go to the court and take the kids from you. And then, so the mentality for most of our parents is, if I stay, at least I'll receive the brunt of it, and the kids won't. So
yeah, but the kids are receiving the brunt of it anyway, aren't they?
Sometimes not as directly. Sometimes in the family, the kids are protected because the one who's being abused is there. So they're not touched or manipulated.
No, they may not be touched, but I'm sure they're aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that, so they're being affected, you know, in my non-professional, mentality, they're being affected,
right.
You know.
But the fear is there that, what if I wasn't here? How would they be affected worse? That's the fear, that something worse may happen to the children if that parent isn't there to intervene, to be, unfortunately to say it, the punching bag if they weren't there.
Right, right.
So that's one, those are really the top fears of why the parents stay. And the children don't understand it either, so they grow up thinking, oh, okay, this is a typical relationship, and this is how I should treat my person or my friends. And so there always comes a time in every survivor's life where they say, okay, this is enough, but it can take up to a year or more. It can take years, decades at the end of the day.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But because also there is still that, who's going to believe me? Or especially what we find in a lot of our extremely just powerful clients or families or affluent, if you want to say, the offender might be someone very powerful in the community. They're like, who's going to believe me against his word?
Or her word,
you know? So there's a lot that goes into making that final decision. And the big one is safety, because if the abuser were to find out they were trying to leave, that's the most dangerous time, if anything. So a lot of our survivors leave in secrecy. It has to be orchestrated, so it's very safe for everybody involved. I mean, there's been countless times where the first thing they think of is, he's going to go and steal my children or kidnap them if I leave, or she's going to say that I abused my children, so if I leave. So there's a lot on their plate.
Do you find that a lot of times after coming to your organization that they go back into their relationships?
I'm not going to say a lot of times, but it does happen, unfortunately, just because that's all they've known, in a sense, for so long.
Right.
That now to be on your own without that that known consistency is just as scary as staying. So it really depends. And that's why we try to be this little bubble of support around them as much as possible, from helping you find housing to giving you and your family counseling to helping you with the legal aspect of it. We have our SAFE's Legal Haven, which is like a network of attorneys who specifically help our clients.
Right.
So for custody issues, restraining orders, all of that. And so we try to cover as much of the gamut as possible so you feel, as a client, safe and secure and strong enough to move forward.
You know, I just think that it's a wonderful organization that you have there. I really do. And it's just, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, a situation like that. I mean, yeah, I know they exist, don't get me wrong. But it's so hard to fathom, you know, somebody living in that kind of, and I know there must be many, many, many across the country, people across around the world living in this type of a situation. And it's just, to me, it's just mind-boggling. It really is.
I think a lot of what the mentality is that it has to be something drastic, as much as like, oh, you do get hit every night, or, oh, you're not allowed to leave the house. But there's a lot of very subtle ways of domestic and sexual violence as well, from the basic or the simple aspect of, no, you're not allowed to look at the checkbook. And every purchase, I need a receipt, and I want to know what exactly you bought. Or who was on your phone? Oh, let me see your texts. It can be something as little as that. But in reality, when someone's checking your text messages wanting to know who you've been talking to, those are all little red flags that should be kind of waving.
Right, right. It's just, just boggles my mind. With that, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel, iron.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. There are tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Hema Castanato.
Neda.
I'll say it right one day when we're off the air. And she is the Director of Child and Adolescent Services at Safe in Hunterdon, which we discussed a little bit earlier, which is a organization in Hunterdon County, and I believe probably all over, actually, and maybe go by different names and stuff, but to help abused men or women, mostly I would think women, but there are men also, and their children. And Hema is the director for the children and adolescents. Now, I know we talked a little bit about what a parent who is the recipient of the abuse, what they can do to support their child during this situation. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yep. A lot of times the children take on a lot of self-blame. So they're just confused about all the chaos going on. They're not really sure what they've done or what they can do, so they start filling in that gap themselves. I'll be the protector, or I'll be the perfect child that won't add to the chaos. So when we meet with our parents, what we encourage is just a lot of support, a lot of conversations about how the children are allowed to talk about how they're feeling, because if not, they just bottle up sometimes, and that's not healthy either. And so our parents, we give them the opportunity to kind of increase communication, find out how they feel about it, how they want to be treated, help them identify how would you solve a problem like this if you and your friends were fighting about something, just to encourage them to know that there isn't just the answer of, oh, well, I'm just going to hit them if they don't like what I want to do. Mm. So most of our families, it's just helping them teach the children that this is not the only option when you want something and you can't get your way, or when you're having a hard time expressing yourself, throwing something across the room isn't the way you're going to get it. And always going for services for help. I mean, there's no shame in counseling and receiving support, especially in a situation you feel powerless in.
Right, right. Now, do you feel there's a key to success in helping kids or children grow up to be healthy, successful?
Absolutely. I would definitely say encouraging them and providing them with security and stability. And that doesn't just mean a roof over their head. That means that the children know who I can consistently go talk to when I'm feeling worried or scared. Who will always encourage me? Who will always make sure that I think things through? And at many of the times, that's really all the child wants out mm-hmm. of their relationship with their parent, is just knowing that no matter what, no matter how many mistakes I make, I can still go to them and they won't hurt me or shame me, but instead they'll work to understand me. And so having that safety net for them is really important for children in these situations.
I understand what you're saying. I just think it's kind of difficult when they're in a situation,
right?
Whether it's abusive, physically abusive, amongst the parents, or emotionally or whatever, for them to feel emotionally safe and protected. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or am I not getting it out right?
No, it is, because you're thinking they're living in this turmoil.
Right, exactly.
But what we have found is our parents who come into the program who are in the receiving end of this violence, for their children, they are unstoppable. They become super dad, super mom, and if they have to, they will do whatever necessary for their child to feel that moment of safety.
Okay.
And what we try to work with them on is you can be that for yourself too.
Uh-huh.
Because it's very easy for a parent to say, okay, I'm going to make this better, safe for my child. They forget that's the power you have for yourself too. That's the strength you carry.
Uh-huh.
So whether they do it themselves by creating happy, joyous moments in the home, in the situation, or whether they look for outside help through counseling or through having the kids involved in teams and just having other positive connections being made for the child to build the safety bubble, our parents are capable, and they do so, or do their very best to do so.
Now, pardon me, you had said earlier that you, Safe and Hunterdon, has traditional housing or transitional.
Yeah.
I'll get it out. Transitional housing. Now I understand that that's got to be limited. There's not a whole slew of it. I wouldn't imagine.
Not at this time, but we are working on branching out in other mm-hmm. ways.
Okay.
We have our shelter, which is just for her, that immediate, I have to get out and be safe.
Okay.
And they're definitely, that's what we have our hotline for.
Why don't you give that hotline number?
Sure. Our hotline number is 1-888-988-4033. And basically, you call and we do our little assessment. Basically, I'm going to call it to see uh-huh. if it's possible for you to come in. And after a while, once you're feeling strong up, again, we talk about transitional housing, which is basically you're on your own. You're living how you want to live. If you're working at that time, great. And then you're there, but at least you have, because a lot of our families that come into our homes, they don't have a job when they come
right.
in. or any economic stability whatsoever. Sure. So it's this little, we call it almost like a little recharge for them to first feel safe and stable and know that this place is safe and nobody's going to walk in who's not supposed to.
Uh-huh.
And then they come into the, okay, now I'm going to start venturing out, getting my independence. And then after that, they're ready to go and look for their own apartments. They're a little stronger economically. So we really try to be a support system all the way, even as we slowly pull away.
Way, right.
And
okay.
Help them stand on their own 2 feet.
Okay. Do you run into a lot of child molestation, sexual abuse of the kids in these in these situations?
Yes, we do. In the current program we have for children, we don't offer services for sexual abused, but we do have people we work with, like referral, other agencies in the county that specifically focus on that. A lot of our parents come in, and if they have sexual violence in their history, we do work with them here at Safe and Hunterdon. So it's if the children have experienced it, we work with other agencies. But if it's the parents, we do have our sexual violence counselors to work with them specifically.
And what is Safe and Hunterdon's definition of sexual abuse?
It's any type of sexual activity inflicted on a minor by a parent, guardian, relative, or acquaintance. We also have child molestation is the act of a person, adult or child, who forces, coerces, or threatens a child to have any form of sexual contact.
Just, again, that just boggles my mind, you know. I'm sorry. It just, you know, there's... There's a few things that I probably shouldn't say on the radio, but there's a few things that I just would have no qualms about putting someone out of their misery on, and sexual abuse of children is one of them, you know. Mm. Rape is another. I just, you know, I can't buy that.
And you'd be surprised how many of our clients who are survivors of domestic violence have a history of something in their childhood of sexual violence.
Yeah, yeah. I would think, yeah. You know. Is there any kind of research or anything that has researched how often a child is molested or...
Most of our numbers have come up that as many as one out of every four girls has been or had some sort of sexual abuse, and one out of six boys all by before the age of 18.
You know, it's just, and I assume that this sexual abuse is usually by some, like a list of the people that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you know.
Someone they know.
Over the
or,
years, we've right. learned that it's not stranger danger.
Right.
It's someone you know, a neighbor, a family friend, unfortunately a teacher, as we've heard uh-huh. in the news recently. Because at the end of the day, it's someone that the children have built trust with.
Sure.
And they are put into the position of, well, if I tell... they're hurt me or my family, or I don't want to hurt them. So it's really
yeah,
difficult.
It is. It's just, and it's, you know, I, like I said, I just, it just, you know,
yeah.
I read about it in the newspapers or on, you know, you see it on the internet or whatever, you know, like you say, the teachers, and I'm saying, you know, heavens, you know, kids are supposed to be trusting their teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not like them. You know,
yeah.
There was quite a few teachers I didn't like growing up, you know.
Right.
But you trusted them to be, you know, the figure, you know. You know, and to have them do that, it just, you know,
yeah.
It disgusts me, actually. But, you know, I don't know. It's just the people tell about their abuse. Or they just keep it secret?
Typically,
yeah.
It's kept secret for a long time until they feel safe enough to start talking about it or to share it with somebody. Or some don't even ever talk about it at all.
Mm.
And they just choose to repress it and just ignore it's ever happened.
That's got to have an effect on them.
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
And not a good effect, I would think.
They struggle a lot with relationships and just basic trust issues, but also a lot of self-esteem issues we see.
Right.
Too, that they don't feel any self-confidence or any empowerment in themselves or personal strength.
So. You know, it's funny, not funny, that's a poor choice of words. The fellow I was mentioning earlier, he said to me, he says, people have asked me, why did I wait so long to come out and mm-hmm. say anything? And he says, well, who was I supposed to go to?
Right.
He says, I was in a little town. You know, police officers were involved.
Yeah.
The pastor and the half of the congregation of the church was involved. He said, who was I supposed to go to?
Yep.
The neighbors were all involved, And it was like, yeah, you're right. Who were you supposed to go to? There was nobody there, until you got old enough to leave and go out on your own. It's just unbelievable.
And what we try to encourage the children we work with, if anything, I think the message in society is if one person won't listen, you keep talking until someone does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because just keeping it to yourself is not going to help.
But that's got to be hard, too, if they can't find someone to talk to that won't listen. I mean, you get the courage up. I would imagine you have to build all this courage up to do and speak about it and then get someone that doesn't listen.
Right.
How did they get that courage up to do it again? You know what I mean?
It's a little tougher, but...
Well, yeah, I would imagine it gets tougher every time, especially if people don't listen.
And the difficult part is when they tell their parent and the parent doesn't believe them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that has to be the most defeating for the children, if anything.
And I don't have any statistics about it, but just from... what you hear, that I would think that happens a lot where the parents don't believe them.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not, I don't want the parents to be made out to be the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the sheer shock and disbelief of what they're hearing their children say that they respond in a, no, this couldn't have happened. Absolutely not.
Right.
I can't believe this. But they forget that's the first answer the child hears from your mouth.
Sure.
So they'll forever stick with, she didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm. And, the fact is, too, that a lot of times that these people that are performing these disgusting acts, teachers, neighbors, in some cases parents, older sisters or brothers or whatever. And people say, why don't you just tell them to stop? Well, even someone that's not the smartest, person in the room. Hey, what do you mean tell them to stop? How does a 8-year-old tell a 15-year-old to stop?
Yeah.
Or a parent or a teacher or whoever, I mean, it is so sad. And, a lot of times I would think, now you would know more than I do, but that this goes on for a long, long period of time before it does actually stop.
Yes.
It
can go on for years to the point where the child finally says something or unfortunately, the abuser gets tired of them. It really does go on.
Or the child grew up enough where now they have to find somebody younger.
Right.
I don't know.
And you brought up a good point, too. A lot of people think that sexual violence happens between adults and children, when in reality there is a large number that happen amongst children themselves, like that 8 with the 15-year-old.
Right.
The 2 13-year-olds who just started dating. I mean,
right.
It exists in our youth today, and a lot of parents don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it is, and it's a shame that they don't know what to do with it, it's a shame that I don't know the answer to this, but doesn't the non-offending parent, do they always know what's going on?
No.
Right.
They don't.
And if they don't, how can they help,
Especially in a situation where there might be violence going on in the home. the non-offending parent is usually trying to keep everything grounded there.
Right, right.
So they think, oh, this is great. My son or my daughter has a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they look so in love. At least she or he is finding happiness there. When in reality, they could be in their own inferno, and the parents, again, not have a single clue because they're still in the chaos of home.
Right, right. Is it mostly younger kids who get molested, or is it
minors?
Yeah, mostly minors, right?
Yeah.
Now we're talking like what, under 18 mm-hmm. or 17 or something like
yeah.
that. And it's just, you know, do you think it's because the younger they are, the less chance that they'll say anything?
Absolutely. There's a lot of coercion and control and just overpowering that comes into play with sexual violence. So the fact that they're minors and they're still, most of them have not found their self-confidence, their voice as a person yet. So, or I mean, their self-confidence starts wavering around puberty as well. So it's almost as they're seeing like, oh, they're this weak spot.
Right.
In a way. So it's definitely more common that being a minor, you are targeted.
Do you find that some of the parent, along with the child, are abused? I mean, you know, sexually, obviously, if they're married, you know, that goes with it. But I mean, I'm talking physically abused and, you know, and then they have sexual relations with the child.
You mean in like in our population?
Well, like, you know, like a family, mm-hmm. all right? Father's beating up the mother all the time and, you know, yada, yada. And then will he likely have sexual relations with the child?
Not always, but there have been cases. Or what we see happening is the child is given like a status of elevation by the abuser.
Okay.
That might be more important than the mother.
Okay.
So let's say it's a daughter, she's treated nicer or she's given more. So we see that sort of manipulation to kind of, it's almost, you have to look at it and be like, what is this person trying to do? Pitch the mother and daughter against each other?
Because it's all
about controlling everything.
Right.
And
right.
that's what the abuse does. It coerces everything.
And when that happens, how does the child, teenager, whoever, how did they react to that?
Unfortunately, without any type of support or positive influence, they take it as, oh, well, this is my status. You know, they grow into it.
They like it.
Not necessarily
like the attention, and they like being, you know, the perfect.
It's not really a like. It's like that's the only option. Because if you try to fight against
okay.
it, you're going to be in mom status, which is usually not a good one.
That's not a good status, yeah.
Right.
No, I understand.
So we see a lot of that happening, that the term that is well known is, we call them Disney parents, because they give the children everything and they treat them like the best. So the children are always really happy with that parent. And so,
and that's the parent that's abusing
correct.
The other. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just.
It's like, it's the best way I can explain it, just from my personal interpretation, is just this very unhealthy game of chess, of manipulation,
mm-hmm.
of who can I play
right.
next against
right.
who. And it's constantly going on. So the child never learns what a happy, healthy relationship should be.
Right. Right.
Because they're so used to, well, if I want something, I mean that they're going to use hostility to get it or manipulate you to get it.
So. Sad. On an average, we've got about 3 minutes left. On an average, how many clients do you are capable of handling at any given time?
Well, our children's program,
mm-hmm.
let's see. Oh, man. Well, since we do individuals and groups at one time, we've had 45 children at one time.
Wow.
With our other services, it has to be in the hundreds.
Right,
yeah.
right. That's scary.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm sorry. But, you know, from an outsider's point of view, that's scary.
Yeah, the numbers.
You know, yeah.
yeah. Right. I mean, in 1 month alone, just in the children and adolescent portion, we could have seen over clients more than 100 sessions at a time. Yeah. Our groups are usually either from 2 to 4, 6, 5 kids. And, yeah, each modality open 4 days a week just for the, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty high.
It is. And and that's just this county? Or are you accepting from surrounding counties?
From Somerset and Warren County.
Okay, so that's the surrounding counties. Okay.
But mostly, I have to say, this even this past year, it's been just this county.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very rare, far and few in between, that we get from other counties because each county has their own domestic violence agency.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But when we do take other county residents, it's usually because there's a great danger in their county.
Okay. So. Okay. Well, could you give the emergency or, the
hotline number?
The hotline, there you go. Yeah. Well, it's an emergency number.
And if anybody has questions or just needs someone to talk to, I mean, we're there 24/7. It can be for clients and agencies alike. It's 1-888-988-4033.
Could you do it again?
Yep.
They may be still writing it down, you know?
It's 1-888-988-4033.
Okay, and I really appreciate you coming today,
Hema. Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
No, it's been, it's not something that I don't imagine you enjoy talking about too much either, but I just find it just mind-boggling, and to have so many people affected by it in one county, mm-hmm.
The more education we get out there, the more we can offer services and help eventually, ideally,
right.
One day stop all of this.
Yeah, right. That's no, I agree. I think that it's one of the reasons I enjoy having, organizations like yourself on so that people know that these are available to them mm-hmm. should they have to need them and such. Thank you again. You'll have to come back. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, and we will be back again next week. Monday from 2 to 3. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. President Obama sent Congress a $4 trillion budget that would boost spending on domestic programs and defense. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith.
The plan would scrap spending limits agreed on 4 years ago and pay for it with higher taxes on top earners and Wall Street.
I want to work with Congress to replace mindless austerity with smart investments.
But the president says he won't accept any version of the budget lawmakers send back that boosts military spending without matching increases for domestic programs.
If we don't have a vital infrastructure, if we don't have broadband lines across the country, if we don't have a smart grid, all that makes us more vulnerable.
In short, he says there's a vital link between national security and economic security that should not be severed. Mark Smith at the White House.
Former New York Governor George Pataki told Fox News today he's exploring a 2016 Republican bid for president. He'll travel to New Hampshire tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
Attention credit card customers who may have spent a little too much this holiday season, putting them into credit card debt. Every 3 minutes, another person falls further into credit card debt, and many credit card companies have nearly doubled their minimum monthly payment. Now people can barely afford to keep up, but we have great news. Thanks to a powerful program, anyone with $2,000 or more in credit card debt can cut their credit card payments up to half and reduce or eliminate interest charges altogether. We are a nationwide nonprofit helping U.S. residents cut their credit card payments for 20 years. Call 800-975-9016. The call and information are free.
I cut my payment by over $600 and saved over $25,000 in interest.
We've helped over 300,000 people eliminate their credit card debt, and now we can help you. Call 800-975-9016 to see how this powerful nonprofit program can work for you. Get free of credit card debt today. Call 800-975-9016. That's 800-975-9016. Again, 800-975-9016.
President Obama told NBC News the U.S. is doing everything to try to rescue an American woman being held by Islamic State militants. A day after a Japanese journalist held by the militants was beheaded, Obama says the U.S. and its allies are deploying all available tools to identify a 26-year-old U.S. aid worker's location. He called her captivity heartbreaking.
Our obligation is to make sure that we can do anything we can to try to make sure that any American citizen is rescued from this situation.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is urging individuals and parents to vaccinate themselves and their children amidst an outbreak of at least 100 measles cases originating at Disney theme parks, even though the virus was declared eliminated in the U.S. in 2000. The measles outbreak has renewed a